meeting come to order, please join us in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Can we have the roll call, please?
Commissioner Cardell?
Present.
Commissioner Young?
Present.
Commissioner Bush?
Present.
Commissioner Chipman?
Present.
Commissioner Reichenauer?
Present.
Chair Flynn?
Present. I believe we have an oath of office coming up, is that right?
Yes.
All right.
We need to swear him in. You want to come in the front?
No. Do you want a picture?
No.
Too late.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. I.
I, Chair Flynn.
Do solemnly swear that I am a citizen of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I am a citizen of the United States.
And of the state of Washington.
And of the state of Washington.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the state of Washington.
And the Constitution and laws of the state of Washington.
And will, to the best of my judgment, skill, and ability.
And will, to the best of my judgment, skill, and ability.
Faithfully and impartially perform the duties.
Faithfully and impartially perform the duties.
Of the planning commission, position number six.
Of the planning position, position number six.
For the city of Richfield, Washington.
For the city of Richfield, Washington.
As such duties are prescribed by law.
As such duties are prescribed by law.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Commissioner Reichenauer.
I mean, we have 100% more people than we usually do.
Is that? That's not how math works.
I know.
Okay. Any late changes to the agenda?
Okay, you're on.
Oh, yes, I'd like to make a motion that we accept Stan Okanaga excused for this meeting.
My second.
Motion by Commissioner Bush, second by Commissioner Cardell to excuse Commissioner Okanaga for his absence tonight. He is under the weather. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Any other late changes to the agenda? All right, we will move on to the public comment period. Anyone requesting to speak to the commission regarding all items not subject to a specific public hearing may come forward at this time. Please state your name and your address. Limit your comments to 3 minutes. Anyone wishing to speak to the commission, please come forward, state your name and address. Nope, moving on. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes from our last meeting?
I make a motion that we approve minutes of 12/4/19 meeting.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Bush to accept the minutes from last meeting, second by Commissioner Young. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Passes unanimously. Moving on to the business, turn it over to Ms. Garbo.
Thank you, Chair and Planning Commission. The item before you tonight is the first item is on the code amendment. And as you're aware, the department would like to always try to do at least two batches of co-amendment every year. This first batch is going to happen a lot sooner than we typically would do, and there's a reason for that. I will explain that as we go through the matrix. The matrix before you is the proposed one, and we are still in the process of finalizing the list. Unfortunately, for this batch, we don't have major policy change that we're proposing. because major ones takes more time to research. And once we get into the Planning Commission work program, we can talk more about the major ones. The ones before you right now, the list of items before you, again, we're not going to go into the housekeeping items because they're just cleaning up the section, except I'd like to point out item number 4. Originally, we thought we're just cleaning up and clarifying the process and co-enforcement, but in working with our attorney, we figured actually there were a couple of changes we want to make, and largely is to combine the civil penalty with the notice of corrective action. And you will see the draft coming before you. I think it's more than housekeeping, so we're going to move it to minor policy change. And I will just go through the minor policy change very quickly. The item number 6, when we talk about flexibility for development, the split zone is in reference to property, a parcel that consists of two separate zones. And quite often their zoning boundary is a straight line. And we just approved one recently. And the developer requested the ability to do development a bit looser than just the solid straight line, because what he's proposing, supposedly, hasn't been submitted yet, it's very compatible with the residential use. He's thinking about some kind of a senior housing development. And so in looking at MRSC, the Municipal Research and Services Center, they do have a lot of jurisdictions have those kind of standards. So we're going to incorporate those verbiage to allow flexibility. There is, of course, the restriction of still, you know, a sufficient buffer to protect incompatible uses or distance requirement and all that. The next one on the flexibility to construct privacy fence, as you know, I think it's Hawks Landing, where the backyard is facing Main Street, and for some reason our code does not allow solid fence. So with this change, it will provide some form of privacy if they want to. We have another development coming in, and the developer actually really want us to allow that flexibility, so that triggered that change. The next one is time frame on development agreement. We have some really old ones that their development agreement, the term lasts a long time. And I'm not sure if the Planning Commission is aware. There's the Tavener right now. It's having some serious issue because the developer has a really long term right of controlling the development agreement. But that's more to do with the HOA. Regardless, we think when things are so old and the city is growing, is changing, and our code is changing, state law is changing, so we should put a time frame to sunset those development agreements, or at least give us the ability to do so. The next item on criteria, we get a lot of administrative adjustment requests. And quite often they just demonstrate meeting the criteria, but not necessary to greater benefit to the community, just so that they don't have to do certain setback or meet certain windows treatment percentage. And by giving them that, we want better quality design. We want something that the community can benefit, not just the developer can benefit. So it's really just to add that provision for the applicant to demonstrate how is it that the city granting the variance or deviation from the code that we get something better in return. Item 11, we have some problem with the bullets, so we missed item number 9. But on the matrix that say number 11 to do with the ranch style archway signs, we have a development coming in proposing to use that, and currently we don't have that in the code, so we just want to add the development standard to allow that. And the next one is clarifying trees requirement in the landscape buffers. It's really just the word street trees got developer confused as far as the location to put the trees. So this one, we're not sure if it is even minor policy change. It could just be housekeeping. And the last three on the back of the page, and this one is really, as you can see on Taco Bell, the landscape material along the street supposed to be L4, which is pretty high standard, but we didn't require it to be mature trees. So that's why it's not screening the drive-through very well. So we want to really change that provision to allow more mature trees, or at least it's sufficiently screening the traffic, the car lights, headlights. And the next one, fences along public rights of way. We get, now it's even for commercial. Most of the time in the past, we get a lot of it from subdivision, but now even commercial are proposing a lot of perimeter fencing. And the code doesn't require them to be subject to design review, which is not right, because they are very visible and they are massive, so we want them to come through the design review process. So the last section is what triggered us to do this co-amendment so soon. We are eliminating the final site plan process. Mm-hmm. We have a handout with the flow chart in front of you. There are two benefits for that. One is to really clarify the process. Right now we're requiring final site plan, and people get confused, and we do too. We don't really know. I think it's a misnomer that it is called a final site plan when it's really a construction plan. So when people submit the final site plan, we said it's too soon because their building is not built yet. So essentially we're saying once everything is built, you submit the final site plan, we'll go out and inspect. So it shouldn't be called final site plan. So we want to eliminate that process because we charge the fee and, you know, there's a timeline for it. We want to eliminate that. We just ask that when you submit engineering plan review and building plan review, you submit the approved site plan. And then once it's built, we go out and inspect. So we streamline it, and we also eliminate the confusion. So but this one impacts multiple sections. So, and we already amended the fee schedule to eliminate the process. So that's why we need to move this forward quickly. So with that being said, this is right now, at this stage, it's our proposed sections of the code we want to amend. It's already posted online. The draft should be online by next week. So by all means, take a look at it. If you have any questions, let us know. But for now, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
I have a question. Go ahead.
Well, I do have a question on number 7. Provide flexibility, to construct privacy fence for residential homes. Where I live, we have open spaces. Is that can be included or excluded? And I'll tell you the reason I asked that question is that our landscapers in our HOA got together, and we have a dog problem because we have open spaces, especially if you're driving off of Main, going down, across the bridge on G Creek, and then coming back up. That's all that open space on left side and the right side belongs to HOA. So we're talking about putting a fence there to stop these dogs from making a mess up and down that, because it's all open. And so my question is that we like to put a vinyl, maybe a rocked, bedrock type design, and you can get these fences that you can throw a heavy rock and it won't crack open or anything, and they guarantee that. And the deal is we like to put it where the sidewalk is. I like to put it right next to it so we can eliminate the dogs going in there, because they do make a mess in summertime. It starts smelling. And we've had a lot of complaints from our people who live around that area. So that's my question is that I don't know how how you approve that or what. I just like to know if, because it's our land, I mean, it's HOA land. I'm not sure we have to go through the normal permit process or what. I missed that somewhere. So is there any way that we could have that set up where we can do this, because a lot of us have open spaces and we're trying to control it. And
there's no simple answer to this question, because we need to know the location and where is the public right of way. But currently, I think the description for item 7 may not be clear. This is not for individual homes. This is for subdivision when they come in.
Okay.
And when the developer put in the fence, like I said, just like House Landing, where they put in the back fence, but current code would not allow a solid fence.
Oh, you said a back fence?
It's their back, but it's facing the front of the...
So, and I don't know this, but I distinctly recall a planning commission meeting about 2 years ago where we discussed those walls along Heron. Specifically, that one came up because we did set standards for what type of fence was to be allowed, and we said we couldn't use vinyl. It had to be a certain type of wood. Do you recall anywhere in the code where that would be? Because that was actually, I remember that in my meeting, that particular fence was one that bothered me because it looked out of place with all the other ones.
That one that's right to the sidewalk, you mean?
Or? Yeah, right up across from the school with the wrought iron.
Yeah.
I think the part of the issue, though, was that doesn't fix, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Hawks Landing was already approved,
yes,
and that fence was already done.
Yes.
So you can't go back and tell the developer or the owners of
but
that.
But it seems like
if we've
already mandated somewhere what type of fence it has to be used, we do have some contradiction in the code saying...
If they build it for any future subdivisions.
Yeah.
Ms. Garbo, could you discuss briefly the flexibility that the builder was looking for so that we can understand the adjustment a little bit?
Like I said, we probably didn't use the appropriate term. It's not really so much of flexibility. We do have a parameter, what type of material is required, what type of material is prohibited. And perhaps once we get the draft ready, it will give you some idea of what we are asking.
Mr. Chairman?
And will we, I guess that's related to that. I mean, we're going to see the actual draft wording before. I mean, this is not, we're not.
No.
I mean, there's
correct.
No reason that we should get far out of the weeds when we haven't even seen a
right.
draft yet.
These
right?
are just the list that we are doing.
Yeah.
We want to give you a heads up. And the follow-up comment is we are getting ready to bring before the Planning Commission on February 5th, which means it's a public hearing. We hope to have a quorum. and you will get the draft before that.
All right.
Commissioner Bush.
Yes, thank you. I have a question. When you set this up, we have CCRs too, what kind of fences we can put in. So I hope we don't have a conflict here with the HOA.
There's no conflict, the city owns those.
No, the city approved our CCNR, so we override them. No. The deal is that we can't put chain fences up. There is a little controversy about wood and vinyl. And only reason is because wood requires more maintenance, as vinyl is just a power washer. And so I put a vinyl fence up there just like the entrance way, because it's much simpler. And you see it up there at Hillhurst too. So I like to have that incorporated when you make these changes, because that's one thing that's kind of iffy, if you know what I mean.
Actually, vinyl is not allowed.
Yeah, I remember because at that same meeting.
I know it's not allowed. But it's been put up there because it's everywhere.
Well, yeah, that was before that we outlawed vinyl.
But
banned it.
I think we should restudy that. I really do. Because
yeah, I have an issue with vinyl because sometimes some of that vinyl sometimes gets moldy and mildew and starts to.
Well, but wood will too. And so, I mean, I'm just looking at the cost and maintenance of it.
I like my natural moldy wood.
You like your natural moldy wood. Well, you can live with it.
No, I just spent a lot of
but
money.
But I'm saying that the when the vinyl does, a power washer cleans it right off, because we've been cleaning the entrance way from Maine right into our subdivision.
Oh, that's good. Thanks for making my neighborhood look better.
Yeah, we can work on that.
All right.
But anyway, I like to have that studied again, because that seems to be the popular thing in the city limits of Ridgefield, especially if you look at Hillhurst. That's all vinyl there. So anyway, or we can change our HOA too.
So one thing I would like to remind the commission that when we post a draft online, beware of your communication between each other, because it's a public hearing that you should not have a bias or form your opinion before you come and consider the job.
Yeah, and we have vinyl put over here off of Pioneer, too.
We get it. You don't like vinyl. We love vinyl. We love vinyl.
Thank you. I want you. Okay, I feel more confident now that, thank you, thank you.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because when I was talking about that meeting, I distinctly remember that was that.
I know it. I remember it. I was here with you. Yeah.
Very good. Ms. Garbo, if you could lead us to business item number two, please.
Sure, thank you. Item number two is the draft work program. We incorporated the recommendation by the Planning Commission, and the two recommendations from the Planning Commission, one is to look at the HOA requirement, and the other is on the parking issue with the multifamily. Actually, there were three things. The third one is on the housing affordability. The first two items, they pertain to co-amendments, so we added to the co-amendment for late 2020 because those require a bit more work, research and analysis. And the affordable housing, we just put it on the list. We are taking this to council, and Chair Flynn will be presenting the work plan to council next Thursday. But before we do that tonight, we will ask the commission to make a motion to accept the draft plan so that we can submit that to council.
Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Garbo?
So I was looking at, number 10, where it says that'll demonstrate greater public benefit in exchange for the adjustment. That sounds like that might be something a little difficult to judge what the public benefit actually means. Could you explain that a little further?
What we are referring to is, and quite often is really the building design, so it has better product rather than, because a lot of the adjustment is on the building elevation and site design. So if someone is asking for, we're looking at, for example, Taco Bell, they've been trying to meet the minimum standard. And we talk about Taco Bell is the representation of what it looks like if you meet the city's minimum requirement. We want something more, and they ask for a reduction of the material, the window treatment, but what do the city get? We want better design, more change of material. We try not to make it a sort of, for the lack of better word, a number game. You meet the number, you meet the requirement. We want something that allow us the discretion to go through that design process.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other questions for the city regarding business item number two? Ms. Garbo, just to clarify, you'd like us to have a motion and accept
yeah,
the draft here. Is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. And can you confirm or deny if a public hearing is required for this?
No. It's a business item.
All right. So if
we make a motion that we accept it as stated and pass on to the council for approval.
We have a motion from Commissioner
Carno
and a second from Commissioner Young. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. Passes unanimous.
Sorry,
no, that's okay. I appreciate it. All right. I'll open it up again for public comment. Anyone wishing to address the commission, please step forward, state your name and address, limit your comments to 3 minutes. Anyone wishing to speak to the commission, please step forward, state your name. Okay, we will move on. Staff reports.
Just a couple of items. One is really quickly, I don't know a lot of the details, but I thought it would be interesting to share. The city just finished conducting a survey, and I think a lot of the residents, or even yourself, may have received a survey from the city asking you, I think it's 4 pages, lots of questions. And we do that every 4 years. City manager just gone through the final presentation to staff, and I thought it would be interesting to share with the commission. The survey, essentially the highest priority or the most critical comment about the city is there's not enough trail connections, park is deficient, and there are misconceptions about property tax and growth. So what the city manager said that we will do in moving forward, there will be more communication released to the public to explain and increase the transparency so people understand what we are working on and what we do. I understand that once that got released, you probably will get more information on it too. But it's an interesting survey. The second item to share with you is Community Development Department is going through a lot of changes. I think the growth kind of did it. We're so busy, and interesting thing is it happened to me in last jurisdictions or last couple of jurisdictions too. When the jurisdiction is growing, private sector tend to come and snatch all the staff that, you know, from the city. So we lost our building official, but that's not to private sector, that's a different situation. So we need to recruit our building official. We also lost our permit tech, so that's why you have Christy here tonight. And fortunately, we have Dorothy step up to help us. She's from Battleground, and she's our TAM, and very interested in giving us a hand, so that's why she's here tonight. We are trying to fill that position really quickly as well. So there is some staff personnel changes in the department. Because we also have an inspector on medical leave, so right now our workload is pretty high. And you might hear a complaint from the community, but we're doing our best to try to move forward, you know, provide more seamless service as we can. If you walk by our front desk, you see lots of plans piling up. I think it was also because of the end of the year, a lot of people tried to beat the new impact fee rate. So we got a lot of plans in right now. That's all I have.
Thank you. All right. We'll go commissioner by commissioner. Share any thoughts you may have. Commissioner Bush?
None.
Well, sorry to hold everyone up. I'm sorry. I took your nodding. I do have an issue that I was hoping that I could get clarification from. I was talking to a resident about recreational vehicle being used as an accessory structure, and she's basically having some challenges with the city being told it was a non-conforming use. So she has what was built as a tiny house, but it's licensed as an RV through the state. And so she wanted to park it on her property within the setbacks, but was told that she couldn't do that because it would become an accessory dwelling unit. And I'm trying to get some clarification if what makes sense. I just talked to her like an hour before, so I don't have all the details. She may not be giving me everything.
Is this a property located in downtown?
I believe so, yes.
We work with a situation very similar to what you're talking about. And the property owner is not familiar with the requirement at all. And there's been a lot of back and forth.
Okay.
And I believe the husband came in and picked up the permit, but we haven't heard anything since. We think it's okay based on, we actually provided requirements and information for her. Within certain frameworks, she can have the structure as the, I want to be careful what we end up telling her because there is the accessory dwelling unit that the ADU that she could apply for.
Yes.
We think that was the safest bet for her. She did send us a picture of the RV, and it doesn't look like RVs, though she's calling it.
She just bombarded me with text like an hour before.
So yeah, she did the same thing. She sent us state law and sent us a lot of the things were not really how it read the law. I think she misinterpreted the law.
So I guess my understanding is if it's licensed as an RV and it's not being used as a living unit, though, that she doesn't need a permit to park it on her property, correct?
She wasn't just parking it. Again, she gave us all kinds of information from parking it to living in it, having business in it. So she had lots of ideas all over the place.
She mentioned that somebody might be saying it, but it would be less than 12 times a year. So that was like, well, that falls under the camping ordinance then, which is legal.
She pulled different statutes and...
That's kind of the impression I got, but I said, well, I will ask about it.
I would recommend you just defer it to us. Okay. She already talked to us. She threatened to
have
a...
I think she got frustrated and just dropped the issue.
She threatened to have attorneys. So we got our attorney involved. So I would suggest you defer it to us.
I might just suggest to her to just take it down a notch and then talk to you guys. That's kind of how she got real... You know, it came up, she was bad-mouthing the city, and I said, well, that doesn't sound right.
She wasn't going to pull a permit, and we say if you go through an ADU, it's the safest bet.
Yeah.
But partly because if you have something like that in the backyard, chances are your neighbor is going to complain. Yeah. And at least
to my neighbors complaining. So.
Look
at this guy.
I would have told her just to take the tires off.
Well, that's what she was saying. Well, it's an RV, but well, someone's going to live in it, maybe one. And I'm like, well, wait, if it's an RV and you're just using it to put stuff in and maybe go sit in there and paint your pictures.
Off of it, then it's permanent.
Well, but then it's not an RV. It's a derelict vehicle.
I think with land use issue like that, she should not be approaching appointed officials. I would highly recommend
She didn't appoint. I asked her about it because she had made a public comment. I said that doesn't
sound
right.
Okay. So. Yeah, but she should come and talk to us. And I thought we gave her the permit to apply for it.
Sometimes they don't. People don't always understand. They hear the answer, the right answer, but they don't necessarily hear it themselves. So it might just take some more explaining for her.
We did encourage her to come in, and I think it was the husband ended up coming in to pick up the permit.
Well, it was interesting because it was somebody who was making tiny houses, and she just jumped into thread and was complaining about the city. And this was a business owner, and I said, well, let's take this offline so you're not on this guy's thread. But I didn't want to see her, like, giving people the wrong impression of the city. You know? So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Commissioner Young?
Nothing for me, thank you.
I wasn't done yet. I just want to say thank you for coming and donating your time. Now I'm done.
Still nothing.
Still nothing from Commissioner Young. All right. On the hot seat, Commissioner Reitenauer. Nothing. All right. A couple things for me. Stan's not here, so I'll remind everyone that the Main Street Organization is meeting tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. at Sportsman. Coffee is provided. Breakfast is available. Dorothy, thank you for coming. We appreciate it. Christy, nice to see you. Welcome back. Thank you. And to reiterate what Ms. Garbo said earlier, the next Planning Commission meeting will have a public hearing, so it is important that we have a quorum. And so if you're not going to make it, please, please let us know in advance. And otherwise, welcome, Gary. Glad to have you here. If there's nothing else, we are adjourned.
Thank you.